Well, let's pray before we hear from God's word. Father, we pray that you would be with us now. Teach us from your word. Help us to follow your lead as we seek ourselves to lead others and to follow those that you put over us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, leadership. It's a timely topic when a parish is looking for a new leader. Even if you are feeling the frustration of how long it's taking for that to happen. But it isn't just the lead minister who needs to show leadership. It's the rest of the staff, it's the wardens and parish council, it's the leaders of connect groups and other ministries in the parish. It might even be you in your suburban street as you seek to help others cope with all the effects of this pandemic. So today, as we begin a new series from the book of Joshua, I want to ask, how can we develop leadership in ourselves? How can we recognise it in others? How can we help those who lead us to be better leaders? Well, here's how I think this passage answers those questions. Choose leaders who've been called to leadership by God. Choose leaders with courage. Choose leaders who are devoted and obedient to God, and be people who in turn are obedient, courageous, loyal, and encouraging of your leaders. Well, let's look at today's passage to see how these sets of conditions come out in the history of Joshua. The first thing to notice is that leadership here involves a threefold partnership between God, the leader, and the people. So let's look at each of those in turn. Let's start with God. Good place to start. In verse 1 of chapter 1, we read, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the Israelites.'" Moses has gone. God has said he can't enter the promised land. So the Israelites need someone new to lead them. There'll be very difficult years ahead as they seek to conquer the land and drive out its pagan inhabitants. So God chooses Joshua. Now, if we'd read through the book of Numbers before we came to Joshua, we would have read how before they entered the land, Moses sent out 12 spies to check out the land to see what was there and how they should proceed. 10 of them returned saying they could never do it. But Joshua and Caleb came back and said, of course they could, because God was with them. Well, the people didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb. They listened to the other 10. And so they spent another 40 years wandering around in the desert until every one of them had died, except for Caleb and Joshua. So now God appoints Joshua to lead them. And as he calls them, he gives him a promise, an assurance that if he takes on this job, God will give him success. Listen to what he says. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life." Well, how would you feel if God had said those words to you? It'd be like a great weight had been taken from your shoulders, wouldn't it? You'd feel you were indestructible. Wow. You think, I thought God had given me an impossible task, and now I realise he's going ahead of me to give me success. What a relief. Well, you know, actually, God has said something like that to you. Listen to the words of 1 Peter. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And in 2 Peter, we read, 2 Peter 1, we read, "His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. How did you get that? We're protected by the power of God. His power has given us everything needed for life and goodness. Wow, what a relief. Well, Joshua was promised the power of God, just as we are. Verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll not fail you or forsake you. The great thing about being called to be a leader in God's church is that you don't have to depend on your own or ability or your power or cleverness. God promises to supply all the power you need. I have to say, I found that a great comfort when I started at St. Theodore's Wattle Park in a congregation with 40 people. But of course, that doesn't mean you don't have to do anything to make your leadership work. Look at what was required of Joshua. The first requirement for Joshua was courage. He was about to lead an army into occupied territory. This would be a difficult job, so difficult that those other 10 spies advised against it, even if God was with them. There'd be battles, there'd be death, there'd be fortresses and giants to contend with. Only a brave leader would be able to carry it through. And so God tells him, only be strong and very courageous. I like the very bit. I mean, maybe you wouldn't be so quite so keen on being chosen as a leader if you heard those words. So there's always this balance in the Christian life, isn't there? God tells us he will be with us and look after us, but he also tells us to be strong and courageous. Philippians 2 puts it like this. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation. God is at work in you, enabling you. It's a double-sided coin. Both have to be true. And not only is he to show courage, he's also to show devotion to God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. If he's to remain a faithful leader of God's people, it's vital that he knows how God wants him to act. And so he's to meditate on the book of the law day and night. Of course, we too are encouraged to meditate on God's word. We've got much more than Joshua had to work with, of course. We've got the whole of Scripture. We're to use it to teach and admonish and correct us. So if you want to be a godly leader in God's church today, the reading and meditating on Scripture is just as important for you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you as you read and study God's word. Finally, it's not enough just to study God's word. We need to obey it. So God continues, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall be successful. Again, there's a promise here, isn't there? If he is careful to act in accordance with God's word, God will make his way prosper. He'll have success. And it's interesting that when you read the last little bit of chapter 24, that last bit part of the book, that in fact he was successful. One of the few leaders of God's people who ended their life with success. So leaders need to show courage. They need to be devoted to God and the study of his word, and they need to be obedient to that word. And if they'll do that, God will be with them. But the other great thing about being a leader of God's people is that you're not on your own, even from a human point of view. The third partner in this leadership process is the people themselves. Joshua knows that his leadership will depend on their willingness to follow him. Leaders aren't much use if no one follows them, are they? In fact, you could say that the true test of a leader is just that. Are people following? So his first act as leader is to call the tribes of Reuben, Gad and Manasseh, the half-tribe of Manasseh, who'd been given land on the east of Jordan. They already had their land. And he calls them to come and follow him into the promised land to help the other tribes conquer it. He says, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Now, Moses had given a list of instructions for conquering the land, including who was going to get which part of the land. And this was one of them, that these tribes that had already got their land on the east of Jordan would lead the army. And secondly, their obedience would require them to show the same sort of courage that Joshua was called to show. They were going to be fighting the battles on the front line. Some of them would die in the process, so they too needed courage. This is what he says in verse 14. All the warriors among you shall cross over armed before your kindred and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your kindred as well as to you. The Lord might be giving them the land, but they'd need to march in the army and take it away from its inhabitants. Unless they showed courage, they'd fail. Well, at this stage in their history, they passed the test. They may not always do this well, but at this stage they gladly pledge their loyalty to Joshua as their leader. They say, all that you've commanded us we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. And they add, whoever rebels against your orders and disobeys your words, whatever you command shall be put to death. Now that's about as serious as you can get, isn't it? One of the things we should expect in the church is that God's people will show loyalty to those God has placed over them, that they'll accept their leadership and go where they lead, and that they won't work to undermine that leadership. This is an expectation that you don't always get in the secular world, of course. Remember how we're all in this together? Well, sadly, that didn't last very long, did it? But within the church, loyalty to those God has placed over us is paramount. Finally, they offer Joshua their encouragement. They say, only be strong and courageous. They add to God's words by encouraging him to take God at his word, to step out in faith and lead them into the promised land, even if it is a tough job that they're embarking on. You know, one of the joys of ministry for me has been when someone comes up to me and encourages me. Yeah, that happens in many ways, sometimes by word, sometimes by telling me something that they've observed or that someone has done in response to my ministry. Sometimes it's an email. I got a couple of those this week that were quite encouraging. But it's so important. Leadership of the church is one of the toughest gigs going, and we need all the encouragement we can get. What about you? If leadership is a three-way partnership, how are you playing your part? Are you one of those whom God has called to be a leader? If you are, then remember that God has promised to be with you, to empower your ministry. Are you prepared to lead with courage? Are you committed to remaining devoted to God, to being a student of his word, and obedient to his leading? Now, what about those who work under a leader? Are you looking for ways of encouraging the ministry team or the parish council and wardens? The success of our mission as a church hangs or falls on people who follow their leaders, who show courage in following where the leader takes them, who remain loyal even when the going is tough, and especially when the leader takes them somewhere they're not sure they want to go. And it may hang or fall on people who provide encouragement to their leaders to keep on leading them. Now, I have to say, this isn't always as simple or easy as it might sound. We live in an age where democracy and personal freedom and initiative are highly valued. So we want to know why our leaders are taking us where they're leading, And hopefully our leaders can do that. But there are times when other factors such as privacy and confidentiality prevent them from telling us everything. There are times when the leader's vision goes beyond what we can see, and we have to trust that God is leading them in the right direction. But the moment we stop trusting that God is leading them, we're likely to find ourselves in trouble. That's why Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, says, "We appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labour among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." In his first letter to Timothy, he says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honour, especially those who labour in preaching and teaching." Well, nothing has changed in 3,000 years in this respect. God still calls out men and women, both ordained and lay, to lead his people. It still requires courage to lead. We still need to be devoted to God and to his word. And we still need people who will follow, giving their loyalty and encourage us as we lead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to follow where we're led by you. We pray for godly leaders for our church. Lord, in this present circumstance, we pray for you to provide someone to lead St. Hilary's, who will take us forward in a way that builds the church, that promotes the gospel. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be people who follow you as you lead our church. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.